Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Milo Yiannopoulos, with Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and an NFL season recap with RJ Bell. And now, so mean he one shot a man for snoring, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks to folks like Black Tux. Go to blacktux.com/Adam. Get $20 off your first purchase, rental. I don't know what they want to call them. Rental, purchase, rental. Either way, I'm going to the Oscars in one of those. And it's not all black. I may pick out something blue. I like a midnight blue on a dude. And Tommy John. Who can forget Tommy John? Every day we wear them, and that's all of us out here. TommyJohn.com. Get the 20% off. Use my name. Gina Grad. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Bald Brian.
We the best.
Yeah, we is.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I got to tell you, people love themselves hot wings. I love smoked. I
never had a. I must have had a smoked hot wing at some point. Usually they're slathered in the sauce.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy smokes them up, and I had a coffin full of those things. I had about 85 of those things over at the other shop, and that's a shop of guys who say things about baked beans like, oh, they're too smoky or they're too barbecuey or like whatever.
Guys?
I want to backhand all of them, but the beans, the wings, gone.
Oh,
they're all gone.
They're all gone.
We're seeing a video of Jimmy just slathering those wings.
Yeah, and he tosses them, and they're just so damn numby. And for some reason, even after all that, you have to add blue cheese, and there's nothing... Nothing better.
You didn't bother with the celery sticks, did you?
The funny thing about the celery sticks.
The name darts.
The celery sticks and the carrot sticks are still in their vacuum packed sacks. They've all virgins.
Where they belong.
They've not been touched by man. Like everyone just walks. I mean, that's who we are. Like we walk right past those things. No one even touched them. They've not been opened. They're
so
literally
great.
In there. All right, so let's see. We got Milo Yiannopoulos calling in later. I got stuff to complain about. I think we're going to do RJ Bell's going to call in as well. We got favorite tweets to get into. I had this thought. I don't know why, but if you say fireman, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you say fireman, you are 9 and struggling with your sexuality. And I don't know why fireman, all of a sudden something happens when you say fireman.
Sounds like
but
a
if
superhero.
You say fireman,
okay.
We got no problem. And I also feel the same way with the gentleman versus gentleman.
Gentleman?
Who says gentleman?
Nobody. But if you find
if you
him.
Did.
I bet you Milo could probably call out a few folks that say gentleman, but I don't know. I don't know where, I'm not sure where fireman and fireman, I don't know what happened to fireman, but it's like you have to be on Sesame Street or Electric Company or Wonderama.
To really hit that man.
Yeah.
He's going to go firefighter and just cut out all ambiguity. Firefighter. Yeah.
So
do you know
tweets.
My grandpa was a fireman.
Oh, was he?
Do you know that?
I like that. Nobody.
He's a fire captain.
Oh, that I know. And I seem to remember that Dr. Spaz's dad may have been a fire captain as well.
So the hero gene skips a generation. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it landed right on me. Skipped all his kids.
We got our favorite tweets. It's stuff that, I don't know. I'm wondering now what goes on when you explain something. Like I gave a little soliloquy last show about guys who ride bicycles and gals who ride bicycles just blowing through stop signs. I witnessed it again today. Every time I walk Phil, I see them all just blow through. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to get killed. It's just, if it's a four-way stop, they don't see anything. They don't slow down. They don't tap the brake. They don't touch the brake. They blow through because it's all their energy that has created that movement, and they don't want to scrub off their own effort.
Momentum, yeah.
Then I get people like tweeting me like, their feet are clipped in to the pedals, so they can't put, and it's like, no, not at all. I'm saying they don't slow down. I didn't say they didn't come to a complete stop, put their feet down. I said they don't tap the brake.
Yeah, because they could leave their clips in and stop to slow down half speed, three-quarters speed.
Well, and there has to be a way to unclip yourself in an emergency.
If the brakes are on the handle. Yeah, Dawson, I don't think you're getting this one, but it is on brand. It's on brand. Yeah, no, I know they're on the handle. But what they're saying is if you come to a complete stop, you must put your feet down, and their feet are clipped in, and that's why they don't do it, which is an insane argument because anybody who rides a bike that's good enough to clip in and they've gone more than several blocks in their lifetime, those guys are all good enough to almost come to a complete stop without needing to put their foot down. You barely, if you're on that bike and you're rolling at 2 miles an hour, you don't need to put your feet down. And the guys that are good come to a complete stop and hold it there for a while just to kind of show off without unclipping. Motorcycles, the exact same way. You don't need to put your foot down. You can literally come to a stop as long as you almost immediately start accelerating. Uh-huh. You don't need the foot down. All right. Sorry. We have an intro here.
Oh, the tweets?
Yes. Sorry.
I'm just editing a drop.
That's all right. You figure it out.
Okay. We got it. Here we go.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Send him by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
Oh, we changed. Oh, that's what Chris subtly telling me that. You didn't tell me I had a new opening. You just said ones you like.
Oh, yeah, because I was saying that we instead of favoriting tweets, you now like them.
Yeah, so we get rid of favoriting.
Surprise.
Yeah, I know, but we had another opening that we played 30 times.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a new opening.
Right.
Yeah.
Sound of Music.
All right. So I was calling it favorite tweets because that was the opening we had before. Okay. I got my tweets I like. All right. So What is the first one? You guys send me stuff. I like looking at the stuff. I don't know if you guys are like me, but in general, I enjoy people's feedback and commentary. Want to be transparent about. Somebody said to me, you always complain about Obama golfing, but you never complain about Trump golfing. And I said, you're right. And I have two answers. One is, you're right. And the next answer is, I had Obama as a hoopster and not a golfer. Maybe that's racist. I thought he wanted to hang out with Jay-Z in the basement and play horse of the White House. Right. That was my whole thing. Now, a lot of this is racial profiling. Yes.
You're right. He did have a basketball court installed.
I had him as a hoopster, and I didn't think he was going to be out on the links.
Yeah.
Trump, I had as a golfer going into the White House. Like, make your face, Brian. He has clubs.
I'm trying to keep up with this.
He has. Are you not keeping up with this?
No, I am. So far, so good.
Thank you. He has golf resorts.
He does.
And all he did was golf.
Mm-hmm.
So, the one guy I didn't know golfed. I thought he was a hoopster. I didn't like it when he golfed. Or it surprised me. or something.
Bump
the other guy, I don't like golfing, and I should be consistent. I don't want anyone golfing. But it didn't bump me
because the one all, associated with golfing.
All I ever heard with him is he's building another golf course.
Beautiful golf course.
So I kind of expected him to golf, and the other guy expected to be shooting, playing horse with Jay-Z.
Gym rat.
Yeah, just thought we wouldn't be playing. I didn't know him to play golf. I'd have known him as a hoopster guy. Again, it's it's a cultural thing.
Indeed.
And if you look at the two of them, you think I'll see what I'm saying. But you're right, person that called me out on it, and I did talk about it before. Somebody said, how come you don't talk about it or something? But I did talk about it on an earlier episode of Adam and Dr. Drew before this person reminded me. I think it was one of these things where people go, and I should remind everybody, I'm really starting to become somewhat obsessed at people who, this new nether world of lying that I talk about all the time, where you go, did you do this? I'm pretty sure I did, and you didn't do it, and then we have to double back and go, you did? Because I talked to the person, and they said you didn't. Oh, I guess maybe I didn't.
Yeah,
you know?
Because you're waffling, you're somehow absolved of lying.
And then at some point, they bring up something you didn't do from 8 years ago, and now somehow you're even. When somebody says, hey, you never talked about this subject, and I said, I did talk about it for some time with Adam and Dr. Drew on an episode that's like 5 or 8 episodes ago, and then they come back and go, I couldn't find it. Which one is it or something? It's like, I don't know, but
that's not on you.
Are you not believing me? And if you're not believing me, it's because everyone's lying now. There's this new thing where everyone gets to go, I talked about it earlier. You may not have heard it. For a lot of people,
I'm pretty sure I did.
Right. But when I say I talked about it with Dr. Drew, I'll tell you specifically and exactly what we're talking about. It's just we gang tape the episodes.
Right.
Sometimes we do it in a week in advance, and I can't remember which one.
Could have been a Wednesday show that you recorded on a Friday.
I don't know which one it was in. But rest assured, it was discussed. And yes, you're right. And for the record, I don't like anybody. I don't want any president golfing. But I think
the reason
part of my promise
radar
is I had him as a golfer before we got to the White House, and that's why I didn't think about as much. And I don't know, maybe Obama golfed a lot before the White House, and it's just something I didn't know about. But it felt like he was making brackets and had the hoop installed.
He was best identified as a
and all that.
Yeah,
hoops guy.
And then I also have this one too, which is brothers who are hoops guys, other than Michael Jordan. Oh, and Charles Barkley. Yeah. Aren't big time. Don't seem hoopsters aren't usually out on the links at the same time. All right. So we have favorite tweets.
All right. So do you want to move past the bike breaking since we got it?
Yes. Done with those guys.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute. Tell me anyway, just so I can yell at these people.
So at D Train 96 K Rock writes, Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, as much as I like your theory, Adam, bikers blow through stop signs because their shoes are attached to their pedals. It takes a twisting motion to get your foot to detach from the lock on the pedal to put your foot down.
Right, so that means they are willing. So according to his theory, they're willing to risk death because they cannot get their foot undone.
Because it's a bad design
of
a shoe.
Or too much difficulty to get their foot back in and whatever it is. So that's a horrible theory because you obviously could slow down to almost a stop, look any direction you wanted. And it's the same difference between you blowing through in your car and you almost coming to a stop, looking, and then proceeding.
It's It's because somebody clipped my brakes.
Right.
You can.
So is that D-Train?
D-Train.
All right, D-Train, that's a horrible notion.
Thanks, though.
But here's the big question for D-Train. Does D-Train believe what he's saying to me?
I was like, does D-Train believe this? He probably does. He probably felt very passionate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And then at MN, Jack Sparrow also replied, I feel stopping while remaining in the pedals is a skill. It takes a long time to get it down to looking smooth. Those who blow through the stop signs deserve what they get, unless you are a car at a left turn arrow. Ha ha.
It is true. While coming to a complete and utter stop for a 9 Mississippi is difficult on a bike, it still doesn't help the point of you could easily slow yourself down and look around and then continue.
And that's something we can all do and not be professional cyclists.
Yes. All right. So now, what are the next one? I got a crow one on there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. My crow. You know, I don't crow about the crow stuff that much. I crow about the service dogs and all the other things that have come before.
Turkeys.
But I got to tell you, I've been yelling about crows for pert near 20 years now. They're smart. They're mean. They should be used for protection. They would be the ultimate security force when we're talking about, and we've all figured out that dogs and also the guy with the gun with the very minimalistic training. I mean, what are they really going to do? The crows coming at your head.
Yeah. From above.
Crows coming at your head. I mean, all right. So what, tell me this one.
All right. So this is from at MC Ditola, Adam. I'm sorry, at Melissa, you 324Y. Sorry, I read the wrong one. I'm sure you can find another way to put this newly discovered skill to good use. And then she tweets an article talking about crows eating poisonous frogs that inhabit Australia. They were put there to eat the beetles and get rid of the infestation of beetles. But then there's no natural predator in Australia, weirdly enough, that can eat these frogs. So they went from
for blood,
right? They're like 3.5 billion. Frogs, and then these crows are now...
I had this semi-racist thought this morning that pertains to introducing other flora and fauna, other species. Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Whether it's Europe and folks coming from Muslim land, or here and Mexico and beyond, the whole thing about immigration is if you get a certain amount of people and then ask that there's an assimilation with language, mm-hmm. culture, things like that, doesn't mean you can't cook up your favorite foods. It just means here's the language. Here's what we do. Here's how we roll
right.
around here. Here's how we treat our ladies.
It's in your own best interest.
If you want to get involved.
Yeah, if you want to thrive in this society you've chosen to come
from. If you're from some Muslim land and you're moving to Norway and people go, here's our focus, but here we do let our ladies drive and they get to wear bathing suits and they can read books and all that kind of stuff. If it's a small enough group and a group that assimilates enough, then it works perfectly. If it's a large group and it's just sort of business as usual, you're not going to act any differently in a new land anywhere, and any differently than another species acts differently in a new land, which is just, here's what we do. Here's what we'll do here if there's enough.
Right.
And we'll have whole corridors that speak this language and pray to this God and have these rules and are ruled by whatever was, that'll be whatever is. So it's not really about who is coming from where. It's how many at once, and then what's the ask on whatever country you're moving to? Mm-hmm. What is the ask on the assimilation?
Yeah, kind of support
part?
The influx.
What
from wherever?
What
and can, everywhere?
Wherever you come from, if you're down with the language and you learn to love Garth Brooks, then
you're
I think
in.
It's all going to work out.
Bill of Rights.
But if you just sort of cordon yourself off, speak your languages, have the markets with the names in your language, whatever the culture is, then you're just going to create a small little embassy in this culture of your culture. And that's destined to fail because you came here to get away from that. Mm. To assimilate into this. And I was thinking about this with the frogs. They dropped the frogs off. They dropped the frogs off to eat the beetles. They dropped too many off. The frogs don't just turn into Australians. The frogs do whatever they did. And now they do it in numbers. And now they got to get the crows. Now the crows have figured it out. Because the frogs are poisonous. And all the other creatures want to eat the frog.
Yeah,
but the frogs secrete this fluid on their spine or whatever.
The frogs were dropped off to eliminate... Sorry, I missed that part. To eliminate other rodentia or other...
They were there to get the beetles.
Yeah, 3,000 of them were dropped off. And now it's estimated 1.5 billion
Whoopsie.
Descendants.
Right. But don't blame the frogs. In this case, we mean French. Don't blame them because they're doing what they did.
They're
and
thriving.
Nobody should ever be surprised. And when whatever culture just continues to do what that culture does, the same way you would do if they dropped you off anywhere. Mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You do what you know.
Yep. If they dropped you off alone and you went, oh, I better hurry up and learn this language and fit in, then that'd be one thing. If they dropped every guy you tailgate with at an SC event with, then you'd continue to watch SC games on a satellite and tailgate.
I wouldn't pick up the local team.
Yeah. Right. So that's how people are, and that's how it works. Now, they dropped the frogs off. The frogs went from 3,000 to 1.5 billion or whatever it is, and they're taken over, and now they want them gone. But they're poisonous. Uh-huh. So who's going to get them gone? And all the other animals have figured out, you can't really eat them because they make you sick and die.
Right. Yeah, they could kill crocodiles.
But the crows, kill crocodiles.
Yeah, so what they were trying to do was researchers were just trying to teach the animals not to eat them by putting a little bit of the frog poison or the toad poison in their food. And then when they get sick, they know that smell means it's bad. So that was their solution. But the crows, they found a way because they secrete the poison through their back. So crows have found out a way to grab them by the top of their neck or in between their eyes, turn them over, and then just kind of gut them from the stomach.
They figured out how to disembowel an animal so they don't get sick eating it.
All right.
They have problem-solving intelligence.
I've always said smart and mean.
Yeah.
Those are the
like Braveheart.
Those are the two things that they have. They're smart and they're mean. And do not tell me every time there's another study about the crows, they recognize the face of the researchers out in front of the research lab. The researchers have to wear masks so they won't be attacked.
They're vindictive.
Because the researchers have to go get the little chicks from the nest. And now the crows recognize the guy walking back to them, guessing his Volvo or Saab. It's not an F-250. And they go right after that guy. So they have recognition. They're super smart. They use tools. And the crows communicate with one another. So read the rest of it. Because there's crows 3,000 miles away who are coached up by these crows going, you can eat these guys. You just got to flip them over.
Yeah, they're well known for the ability to learn from one another. And that's why, 3,000 miles away from Brisbane, they've exhibited similar behaviors. It's equally possible, however, that multiple populations have figured out independently, given their propensity for problem solving. I mean, these birds are scary.
Okay, when do my attack crows come in?
When does
the detail come in? Wouldn't everybody, and I haven't gotten to this specifically in a while, but my plan is, first off, crows are ubiquitous around here, around the world. They're everywhere. They're just crows. Yeah. There's just tons of crows. Anytime a police dog gets shot or something, it's a big deal. But a crow,
it's bendable.
Okay, you have your crows. Everybody, if you're a dignitary, a mayor, whatever, a captain of industry, you have four or five. A murder of crows.
It's right there in the name. Guys.
It's signed to you now. Here's how the crow works. The crows, right now, if I were in here, they'd just be sitting up on the parapet of the building, talking like a Heckle and Jekyll there. Right. My car, I got a special rainbow tape decal on the roof of my car so they can identify it. It's the same one they used, I'd say, in Con Air. If you take a look find me what's on the side of the airplane on Con Air. I think you'll get a good idea of the insignia that I'd want on the roof of my house. Now, I sit in stupid traffic all the way home, averaging 14 miles an hour, and I'm probably about 14 miles away. But the crows, they'd figure out where I live, and guess how they fly?
As the crow flies.
They're not a sucker. They don't sit with me along the two freeway.
Not serpentine.
They go straight. They're straight. It's probably like 6-7 miles from here.
So long, sucker. We'll
and when I get home, guess who's standing on my garage?
The crows.
Right. Now, what if I get out of my car and some guy tries to hassle me when I'm stepping out of my car, brandishes a gun or a knife or whatever? Who's coming down on their head?
The crows.
What do you think that guy's doing? Standing his ground, completing his transaction.
Flailing and screaming. And
all you can do is run and flail. I mean, your move is going to be, that's an attacked by three or more crows is you immediately bursting into flames in terms of your composure. Yeah. It is jacket over the head. It's rolling mass on the ground. It's mass confusion.
Best case scenario, you're pecked within an inch of your life. Worst case scenario, they take you away.
You're running for your life. And now, later on, me and Philly Cheesesteak and the kids, we're going to walk down to the Starbucks tonight and get the boy an old fashioned. So what happens? Crows bat? They're just sitting on the roof.
Yeah.
We come walking out. They come. They're just buzzing around. Now we get to the middle of the street and Butch Hitkins, the neighbor bully, is going to give Sonny a hard time. Boom. Wow. Crow on the head. Crow. Done. This done. How secure good. Would you feel walking around at night?
That's the ultimate cloud. It's a cloud
the ultimate
of crows.
Cloud. Yeah. Cloud of crows.
And nobody's looking for it. It's not like no. you're going to get robbed, but they're going to look up first.
No. Yeah. It's not like the guy.
Eventually we're to get out.
He's coming at you with the beekeeper's bonnet on. Just find the insignia from the movie. Would you please? You don't need to find the actual airplane that was used in the making of the movie. Yeah?
Yeah, you got it. Got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The movie Con Air had a... Go to the poster.
It's like in Black Hawk Down when they put the big X on the top of the car. They could follow it all through town.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they were following
right.
it. Could use the car that was going to mark where the hostages were.
I'm laughing at Max Pettit because he showed me a picture of the actual plane from the actual movie that's not recognizable because it's mothballed now. But... If you find the movie, then you'll see the. You find the movie poster, and then you'll see the.
I've pointed it out a couple of times.
Okay,
I could be 100% wrong, but we'll find out. I've just been ignored.
Well, the and normally that's a good idea, but if you type in Con Air movie poster or Con Air, no, not there.
Oh.
Okay, all right. Well, there is an eagle, and it is dropping down on someone's head in the Con Air poster. It's got this isn't the one that's on the movie poster, but yeah, it's on the side of the plane. Anyway, it's an eagle.
Sweet insignia.
You'll find a better one than that, but you'll right. keep going. All right, so.
It's probably been 10 years plus since I mentioned on the radio show, I knew you were obsessed with crows at the time. Remember the story? They used to, they wanted walnuts, right? But they couldn't crack the shell. They're not strong enough. They used mm-hmm. to fly them down at a red light, wait for cars to come to a stop, fly down, Genius. Put it under the car, the wheel, while the stopped car would run it over, crack the nut, they'd fly back down, grab the nut, and go up.
Right.
That's incredible.
It's yeah. incredible, so.
Children wouldn't be able to figure that out.
Since. They are who they are, and they're all beak and talon, and they come down and land on people's heads, and no one's going to rob you of the beekeeper's bonnet on. Somebody's got to be looking into these guys for security.
You know what? We should talk to, I know it's a totally different animal, but we should talk to a falconer about this. Because you know they use those all over Southern California to keep other pests and other birds away from hotels and things like that. Maybe they have some insight.
You know what the advantage of the crow is, though? Like Adam said, lousy with crows. For every yeah. falcon you see in the sky, there's probably 10,000 crows.
But that's what I'm saying. We already have someone who totally gets the mind meld of the man and bird. Mm. So maybe we should get them on it.
I agree. And
oh, I see. Get the falconer to start wrangling
yes,
these crows.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Now, the other thing that's bizarre, and I'd be curious about this as well. So now imagine there's a police standoff. Oh, we're looking at the side of the plane. It's got it. Still looking.
What does it say? Jailbird.
Yeah. Jailbird.
It's the jailbird.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love the movie. All right. So also imagine there's a police standoff. Mm-hmm. The crazy junkie guys, like he's waving around the machete. Yep. The cops can't get near him. What
Erratic.
Happens? They always end up shooting the guy mm-hmm. or he's got some hostage or something. He's got the 9-year-old son he lost in the court hearing. He's got that guy. He's holding the kid on.
I'll do it, man. I'm crazy. I'm at right. the end of my rope. I'll do it.
Unleash the crows.
What?
There's
what?
Nothing.
What? What?
Unleash the crows. You can do nothing but run.
Little Timmy's going to go, crows!
All you can do is flail.
They can pick up little Timmy and
That's
bring
right.
him to safety.
Timmy, justice. Timmy gets plucked to safety.
You may only flail.
Right.
That's
right.
all.
You're right.
If one crow flies at your head, you all you can do is flail. If 8 crows fly at your head, there's nothing but flail.
You're screwed. And since we already have, like Jaws, we already have a good, in our zeitgeist, a movie that terrifies everyone from sharks. We have Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
We're already terrified of these birds.
The birds, yeah. Weren't those more seagulls?
Yeah. No, they were all birds,
all
I thought.
All kinds of birds.
It was all birds. But famously, when she was in the phone booth, it was the seagulls that were flying there. Okay. So now, here's the weird part. Maybe someone can answer this. I live in a place, I'm trying to build a house on a property that has, without exaggeration, 31 oak trees on it.
Oh, wow.
And when I would like to cut an oak tree down to make room to build my house, I have to go get a permit from the city because oak trees are endangered.
Okay.
Except for...
Not on your property.
Not anywhere near where I live. It's all oak trees all the time. Right. If you talk to someone about crows, they'll tell you they're endangered species. But the only thing my neighborhood has more of than oak trees is crows on top of the oak trees. I mean, millions of crows. And I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, and it was crows, squawking away, just big packs of them flying across, across the street. Like, how can they possibly be an endangered species if all there is crows?
I don't have the answer to that.
How does it make it onto that list, and how does that work?
Maybe because there's less of them than there were, but there's still what feels like millions.
Way more than I see pigeons, like, out here. Mm-hmm. Yes,
they shouldn't be endangered if I could see them any day just walking down the street. I mean,
right. Yeah, save it for the pandas.
I don't see a panda every day.
All right, we'll see if crows are on that list, because I think they are, but I'm going to get it waived. I'll blow a call into Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we'll get that waived, and we'll get them on it. And I know somebody has to be working on my guardian attack crows right now, right?
It would be smart.
Top secret.
It's impossible that no one else has put these things together. Now, I've been on it for 20 years, but somebody must be thinking about this. All right, you look at that. I'll tell you about the Black Tux wedding, special event, something coming up like the Oscars. Got another writing assignment today. Get the secret writing assignments.
I'm excited to hear about all this after the fact.
Yeah.
Please keep notes.
They go, turn it in by 5 today. Then I concoct an excuse. Don't do it. TheBlackTux.com. High quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your door. You create your look, or you choose from tons of stylist selected outfits, all online. Usually they retail for about $1,200, but this bad boy you can get for, start at just $95. Free home try on, see and feel and fit, make sure it all works, check it out in person. But in the comfort, safety, and convenience of your own home. And then you can try it on months before the event. It'll arrive 14 days before. If anything is less than perfect, then they'll send you free replacement right away. You just drop it back in the mail. Free shipping both ways. Nothing better. It is the Black Tux. I'm going to wear one to the Oscars. Dawson.
For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/Adam. That's theblacktux.com/Adam for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux, premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered.
The idea that in a weird way, the crows are even smarter than the scientists, because the scientists are like, how do we get all the dumb animals to not get near the frogs? And the frogs and the crows are like, that's fresh meat, man. We just flip them over and gut them.
Easy fix.
And it shows their cunning and their diabolical thinking, as well as their just sheer raw ruthlessness, sort of ruthlessness. Just, I'm going to gut this frog from behind. I'll pinch it off by the nose, and then I'll just flip it over and gut it.
Disembowel it.
Yeah.
What can't that little animal do? All right. Enough of my like tweets. RJ Bell's on the blower. Let's talk to RJ. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with RJ Bell right after this.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
This is the first house I lived in L.A.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material.
See, the dirt lawn is going to be a reoccurring theme in tonight's show.
Live at the Kennedy Center this Friday night.
I told you my dad would turn into lead singer Boston at some point.
Not Taco Bell Material returns to Thunder Valley Casino Resort outside Sacramento on Friday, March 2nd.
And my mom would turn into Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
And don't miss the live taping of Adam Carolla's Not Taco Bell Material, April 21st in downtown Santa Ana, California, presented by Esports Arena.
I'll give the devil her due. My mom could cook. Nobody puts nothing on a potato like my mom.
Adam Carolla in D.C. at the Kennedy Center Friday night, Sacramento at Thunder Valley on March 2nd, and Santa Ana April 21st.
Anybody could use the Mulholland Club if you were willing to scale a rocky cliff and jump a fence. Then you too could have a gold membership to the Mulholland Club.
Not Taco Bell Material. Learn more at adamcarolla.com. You're invited to the Carolla Drinks Winter Party at the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead, Saturday, February 10th, with Water Cooler Live. Chris Lonsamana.
That's right, the boys are back in town.
Gary Smith.
What's up?
Matt Fondelier.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Mike Dawson.
Yeah, that's right.
And Kalen Bean.
Yeah, don't worry.
Plus, performances from The Smokin' Kills.
A few good friends, and they're all bad company.
Ha ha, halfway.
I can't be safe from you.
And Loxy.
Baby, let's roll.
Saturday, February 10th, the Tudor House in Lake Arrowhead, California. Water Cooler Live, three bands, and tons of Endless Rant IPA and lager. The Corolla Drinks Winter Party, Saturday, February 10th in Lake Arrowhead. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
RJ Bell. Let's see, line two, you there, RJ?
Hey, Adam, you know, you're a professional radio guy, right? Long time.
Sure.
So you know about the tease. I kind of like the idea that your tease is just, I'm coming up. You don't have to say, he won, he, it's just, here comes RJ.
Yeah, you're right. I do not.
Thought that through.
You're right. No, it is, and it's weird when you.
Good observation, RJ.
When you become a person that's out there. You kind of, sometimes you'll notice, though, they'll go, comedian, Adam Carolla coming up. Right. And then sometimes they'll go, Adam Carolla coming up. And
bigger compliment.
You'll sort of go, are they, when they say comedian Adam Carolla coming up, are they saying it for clarification in case no one knows who Adam Carolla is? And then if they just say Adam Carolla.
You've made it.
Yes. So I will go back and forth, but go ahead. Sorry, RJ. So what did you think of the game?
Well, I am going to have an Adam-like contrary take on it.
Right.
And I'm not saying you'd agree with this one, but one of the things I love about you is you don't say the obvious oftentimes, right? You look at it from a different angle. It was objectively exciting. It just didn't feel like a Super Bowl. It felt like a Big 12 game to me.
Yeah.
You know, flea flickers and all the scoring and I just, you know, I'm 47, and to me, the Super Bowl, everyone should be nervous, and I get it's the best way to play, and you got to give the Eagles a ton of credit. It just didn't feel like a Super Bowl to me.
Yeah, I agree, and it's weird to see, I guess, the Eagles punted once.
You'll never see that again. One punt.
And New England, zero.
Yeah, one punt in the game.
Oh, New England, one punt in the game. Yeah, I'm very fun, very exciting. The Eagles played the only way you can play the Patriots is without that sort of second guessing yourself constantly and trying to, you know, that thing where the Jags, there's 55 seconds left in the half. It's New England. We're going to take a knee. Again, that's fighting Mike Tyson and trying not to get knocked out.
Blinking.
It never works. The only way you can do it is try to knock him out. Even then, you'll still lose. But that's your
chance.
Only
you
shot.
Swinging.
And they just never took their foot off the accelerator.
But you know the paradox? Last year, Atlanta, the postmortem on their loss was, why didn't they run more clock? Why did they stay? So, yeah, it worked this time. And I think net, it's the optimal. You know, poker players talk about the optimal play. I think it's optimal. But obviously, Atlanta suffered for it last year.
A little, yeah. Well, I think... But tell me, maybe I'm being inconsistent. I'm always the one who screams that you go into the prevent, you rush three guys, you give Brady all the time in the world. He starts conducting traffic back there. Before you know it, he moves the chains on 3rd and 18 and they're going to score. You got to send a linebacker, like, do this. But there's also part of it where you go, you're Atlanta. If you run the ball on this play, you're already in field goal range. If you kick a field goal, it's a three possession game with 6 minutes left or whatever it is. Like, there's a part of you that goes, I got to turn into grandpa for a second here. Run it up the gut, kick the field goal. It's mathematically impossible for the other team to win.
I got to be honest. I don't think that is contradictory because I think it's more complex, the right answer, than always go aggressive or always be conservative. And I'll give you an example of that where Belichick will hardly ever has his kick returners take it out of the end zone because he realizes the risk of the fumble is greater than, you know, whatever the cost is of, you know, potentially getting past the 25, right, which is the normal kickoff. If you kneel, isn't worth it because of the risk. So I think you're right. Atlanta, there was a situation last year they should have been conservative, not just in hindsight, whereas Philadelphia seemed to play it perfectly, and they needed that one stop. Remember, if Brady didn't fumble and went down and scored, the Pats probably win that game. So they did it right, and it was just the one stop.
Well, it was exciting. I took the money line. I took filling the money line. So
the opposite of what I suggest.
I did the exact opposite of what you suggested. Yeah, although I liked your suggestion. I thought that was a good call. I just felt like, I don't know, Philly was just scoring. They kind of did what I thought they were going to do. They came off a 38-point game, and I just felt like they're just going to continue to roll along. And also, I didn't bet that much. I was just like, it'd be fun to see Philly win.
But let me ask you this question. I'm sure you guys have talked about, like, masochists, right? People that like pain. Is the way we were predicting or suggesting you play the Pats would be it was an emotional hedge against Bill Simmons and all the Pats fans.
Yeah.
So you were setting yourself up to lose money and have to hear Simmons gloat. So it was almost like you were asking for it.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Every year before the Super Bowl, I make the proclamation that I don't want the Pats to win. Now, people go, oh, why do you not like the Pats? I don't dislike the Pats at all. I dislike whoever's currently unbeatable. And if to be very true to form, and I don't know other sports fans that are this magnanimous. When my Rams lost to the Pats for the first time, or for the Pats' first win, the Rams had won 2 years before. Not the year before. I think two years before. All they were doing is winning at the time. And I remember looking at the Pats and going, I always kind of liked the Pats. I liked their uniforms. And I remember Grogan and guys like that back in the day, Russ Francis and those kind of guys played back in the day. And they went to the Super Bowl twice and were basically humiliated twice. And I remember kind of going, well, if the Rams got to lose, let them lose.
To the hard luck franchise.
So,
to the legend that could, the Pats.
That's how I felt about
Tom
the Pats.
Brady's, they're barely going to hang on for another year. One and done.
Right. That's how I felt about them back then. Now, and also the Rams were heavy favorites going in that game. So I'm sorry, yeah. I mean, that's a nice story. I remember thinking, even though I'm a Rams fan, it's a nice story. Now, I felt that way about the Steelers when they were dynasty and the Cowboys. San Francisco 49ers, like whoever was the dynasty, I was always rooting for the other team. I was rooting for the Bengals to beat the Niners. The Niners are closer than the Bengals are, and I like the Niners, but they were dynasty. So I always root for the non-dynasty. Yeah. And then I realize if I do the emotional bet hedge thing, I don't know, it's kind of cheating in a weird way.
Because then you get your ass on two chairs.
Yes.
But here's what strikes me. If someone's betting or rooting for podcasts, you're the dynasty.
Oh, no!
So they're saying, I hope Adam Carolla gets caught up in some controversy.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Gina, I want to talk off the air for a second about some stuff that was said last time we did a live show.
That
was obviously a joke, but it didn't look like you took it that
make
way.
Make it out to me.
In your hotel room.
You're right. Talking right in the microphone.
Yes. You're right. I am the man.
As it pertains to dynasties, let me ask all the football fans in the room a question. How long does this Patriots thing go on for now? Because now you got Tom Brady, he'll be 41 next year. Bill Belichick, who's maybe not so happy as the coach. There are a lot of rumblings about is he going, is he staying. They shuttled their prime backup quarterback to another franchise.
Yeah.
How long does the Patriots thing go on for?
I believe it's all Belichick, even though Brady's amazing. And I believe that they can do this as long as Belichick's there, or do some version of it. Now, if Belichick goes, then I'm not so sure. And here's the other thing, RJ Bell. Cousin Sal, before the kickoff, was showing me the Tom Brady's combine. And he was laughing about it. He was laughing about his 5.240 time and all that. And so he was one of the least athletic guys in the entire combine.
Right, sure, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Put him through his paces.
And 5.2 is not good. It's slow, right?
No, sorry. Yeah. It's extremely slow, but it's a weird sport that if you're 4.4, you're blisteringly fast. Mm-hmm. And if you're 4.6 or 4.7, you're probably not going to make the cut.
You're a lineman.
Yeah. And that's how world class these guys are. A couple tenths of a second and you're not employable. But he showed me that. Tell me what you think, Bull Brian and RJ Bell. And then I want you guys to just generally graph this on to life as we know it.
All right.
Okay?
Let's hear it.
And it's why we should all hope that I went to school and two of my best friends were two of the biggest men on campus, literally Adonises, that, you know, all the girls loved them and the big biceps for days and all that kind of stuff. They never really got the work ethic part of life down because they were too busy being blown by. It was all.
Sweetie, I'm trying to study.
No, I mean, it'd be like noon on a Wednesday. And the big question was, is do we get blown at the reservoir or do we do it at my mom's apartment? Cause she's at work. Like, those were the big decisions.
Hey, why not do both? All right. Woo.
And all the short, dumpy guys were sawing away, burning the midnight oil. It came very easily. And we all know the chick version of this story too. So he's showing me Tom Brady run this exceedingly slow 40 time and standing there with the shirt off, not looking very impressive. And I said, you know, some of these guys, like when Brady played McNabb, that was not the story with Donovan McNabb. Jeff George, guy had a cannon for an arm.
Blast of physical gifts.
There are also guys, I mean, you don't think about it, but guys like Brett Favre and stuff, they're big specimens, man. And they would put their head down and they'd improvise and they try to do things, throw across the field. Like they try to do things they couldn't quite get away with because they were that good. Like a toughest guy always getting into a bar fight thinking he can win, but he can't because there's other tough guys around too. So I'm looking at Brady and I said, you know what? This reminds me a lot of another dynasty and a guy named Joe Montana. Joe Montana, back in the day, he was a skinny guy. Yep. He didn't have the physical attributes that these other guys have. He didn't have the foot speed and necessarily the arm strength. Their entire game was, it's third and six. We're going to hit John Taylor on a 6-yard slant right over the middle of the ball, travels 7 yards in the air, and then he'll bounce off his prodigious ass and he'll turn the corner and take it up, whatever. Everything was dink and dunk, and it was
decision.
It was dink and dunk because he couldn't drop back, shrug off a couple defenders, and then just heave it up deep. It's not that he couldn't do it, but it wouldn't be an effective game for him at all. He had to pick his moments. They would then play my Rams and destroy my Rams. My Rams had a quarterback named Jim Everett who was 6'6". They called him Mount Everett. And he would stand back there and he was bigger than half the guys that were rushing him. And on third and six, he'd throw a 14-yard out where the ball sailed 32 yards in the air and was caught by the equipment manager on the other team who was standing on the bench.
And run back for a touchdown.
Always embarrassing when somebody's doing something else and catches your errant ball that goes sailing, and they'd punt and they'd give it back to Montana. He would just move the chains. And you watch the way Brady and Belichick have worked, just throwing those flare passes, those little dinks and dunks, the little pick plays. Just his lack of physical ability has made him go, I've got to be that much more responsible with this ball, with these set of downs. I got to move the chains, and I can't just stand back there and think I'm Ben Roethlisberger. I can't just shrug off guys and then chuck it and improvise. And when you hook that guy up with a Bill Walsh type or you hook that guy up with a Belichick type, you get wins.
I was going to say, every great dynasty of the Super Bowl era has been that great pairing of quarterback and coach, Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson, or Chuck Knoll and Bradshaw, or Montana and
But in a weird way, maybe Cam Newton can do too much.
Mm-hmm. And
he can
on
always,
those gifts.
It's always like, oh, I can always tuck it in and run, and I can always shrug this off, and I can always make some magic happen.
That was Dan Marino's weakness.
Right. RJ, what do you think of that analysis?
Well, first off, I think you're exactly right. If you go and make
a list. Good talking to you.
That's our time.
Yeah, but I think if you make a list of the greatest NFL players, I mean, Jerry Rice would be on that list, as you said, Montana, Brady, even Peyton Manning, physically, right? It's very rare. And then in the NBA, you say, well, Michael Jordan, you know, we all have heard the story. He got cut from his high school basketball team, right? So they're not usually the most physically dominating, and what differentiates them is the effort level. But what I will say is this, is Brady in high school was the greatest athlete. So the fact that he kept that desire and then went to Michigan and kept that desire, he wasn't the underdog until he got to the NFL. And growing up in a small town, I saw guys that were literally 5'10", 5'11", that were good basketball players that had that attitude, like, I don't have to try. If they would have just played in Columbus, Ohio, instead of a small town, they would have been horrible. But they had that attitude of dominance, of, you know, they expected it to be handed to them when they really weren't that good. So you got to give Brady credit for keeping the hunger, even though he was the best athlete.
Well, he was good at baseball. Brian's shaking his head because he didn't start at Michigan, did he?
I was going to say, RJ, this is such a good take for every other show he could ever possibly go on, except the one that has a guy on the mic who went to high school with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was a tremendous athlete in high school. He started for the baseball team, started for the football team. He was very good. Was not highly recruited, and that is well documented. He got an offer from Cal, and it was really the only one until a couple of Michigan-like West Coast recruiters noticed him. Hold on.
I'm not done yet, RJ.
So what happened was he gets to Michigan, and he is buried on the depth chart behind, I think, Brian Greasy and like four other guys. By the time he gets to like starting position, he has to fight out Drew Henson, who was playing in the minor leagues, but Lloyd Carr fell in love with because he's a tremendous athlete. Drew Henson was a tremendous athlete, played professional baseball, came back to college to play football. Lloyd Carr started Tom Brady. He would start Tom Brady and then put Drew Henson in for the second half. It was a horrible situation. Eventually wised up and started Tom Brady for the rest of the year. And then Brady wasn't drafted till the sixth round, so he was constantly having to prove himself from the get-go in college.
Yeah, but still.
I agree.
It's a fact.
My only quick rebuttal would be when he was growing up and he was 12 years old and it was time to play flag football and they did the random drawing, he was the kid every coach hoped to get on their team.
Yeah, he was the BMOC. He
12-year-old, right?
Great athlete
All right.
in school.
Right. I agree with Brian.
You agree with who, Adam?
Brian, the other guy. Hey, RJ, we're running out of time. What'd you do? Let's get your overall season.
Well, we can wrap it up with three letters. W-I-N.
Nice.
So I think you went 55.6 in the win department. We're looking for 55, right?
Yeah, so remember, 97% of bettors, that's the estimate, lose money in the long run. You've got to hit 52.4 to break even with the VIG. Our goal was 55 entering the year, and we exceeded it.
Okay, so listen, I'm all for, you know, I think everyone has this sort of fantasy about this guy's won 10 Super Bowls in a row.
Or he picks them right every time.
He outpicked the octopus or whatever it is. But the reality is if this is... This is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah,
you're in it for the long. This is your livelihood, and if you can keep it at, the casinos have a statistical advantage over you, and if you can have a statistical advantage over them by listening to RJ Bell, then you're in good shape. Thanks, RJ.
Congrats, RJ.
Awesome, guys. And Brian, I think maybe off air I can clear you up on some of your mistakes.
Brian, this is going to be fantastic.
Brian hates that.
Please.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
He unfortunately runs into a guy who went to high school with Tom Brady.
Yeah, that was quite a dissertation.
It's
like you're waiting
attention.
For that.
I paid attention to his career.
Let me tell you guys what to pay attention to. Valentine's Day. Oh, man, it's coming up. It's time to give what you want, man. It's time to get some Tommy John. How about that? You lose the old tattered boxers and switch to Tommy John. Limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets available now at TommyJohn.com. It's redefining comfort for guys. We all use it here. There's no other thing I can say other than they dropped off some Tommy John. Everyone gobbled them up, and now it's part of everyone's daily routine.
I still have the socks.
There's
all the time.
The socks, the undershirts, the underpants. It's all there. The legs, they never slide down. The socks, the waistbands don't roll down. The horizontal quick draw fly still stays good. The legs stay down on the long johns, not the long johns, but the midways. Mm-hmm. Nothing better, especially if you're running around, working out, doing any of that kind of stuff. And they also have go anywhere clothing, so you can go from the desk to the date in a flash. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. Tommy John. Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets. Plus, get 20% off your first order with promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
Real fast. Oh, we got our Valentine's Day rescue stuff. Oh, boy. When do I do that?
We'll do that after
all right,
Milo.
We'll take a break. Milo Yiannopoulos will be up next, and then we'll do that after this.